This is Karen Lyle with a Charity Spotlight. Are you the proud owner of a high-quality piano? Is it time to find a new home for your beloved instrument? Look no further than the Piano Donation Project. Whether you have a black upright or a grand piano in excellent working condition with a beautiful finish, we have the perfect solution for you. Since 1996, Piano Donations have been funding new music compositions, live music performances, and supporting music education. And if you're downsizing or simply want to see your piano go to a good home, we work with nonprofit organizations that can provide you with a donation receipt for federal and state tax deductions. And if your piano holds a special place in your heart, perhaps once owned by someone dear, we can provide meaningful ways for recognition as well. Give us a call at 925-676-3355. That's 925-676-3355. Let me repeat that for you once more. 925-676-3355. 925-676-3355. When you leave your message describing the piano that you want to donate, be sure to mention that you heard about this project on Sports Byline. Piano Finders is here to assist you with the Piano Finders Donation Project. Remember, call us at 925-676-3355. That's 925-676-3355. And leave a detailed message describing your piano to our staff. Are you dreaming of restoring your grand piano to its former glory? Did you know that certain pianos qualify for tax deductions when they undergo restoration? Introducing the Hands Preserving History Project. If you have a charitable managed trust or can benefit from a tax deduction, your piano can be restored and refinished, and you never know, hidden signatures might be discovered in the restoration project that could make your piano even more valuable. Contact Piano Finders today at 925-676-3355 or visit our website at pianofinders.com for more information. Remember to call us at 925-676-3355 or visit pianofinders.com. That's 925-676-3355 or pianofinders.com. When you call or email, let us know you heard this ad on Sports Byline. Piano Finders Donation Project, where pianos find their perfect harmony once again, supporting music education and live performance. This has been Karen Lyle with a Charity Spotlight.
With that music, it is Tuesday at 9:40 and on the West Coast. It's time we check in with Karen Lyle from SalesportsTalk.com. And Karen, we're waiting on our guest, Marie Rogers. But first of all, what's new, kid?
Well, I'm going down to the Sail GP race in L.A. They're setting up a station there next to the Los Angeles Yacht Club in San Pedro Bay. So I'll be flying out of San Francisco at about 6 o'clock in the morning on Thursday.
So are you going to be joined by Patty Mangan and sit in press row and do all that type of stuff?
Actually, I'm going to be taking Marie Rogers because she's located down there. So I'm introducing her, and she's going to be our Salesport talk correspondent for the future SailGP races, but we're kind of setting up shop basically so that we can follow this exciting race and see what they're doing in LA.
What do you think about my plucky Danes? They kind of surprised a few people in San Francisco. They don't really have a real shot, but what about Denmark?
What about Denmark? You know, I was just having lunch at the St. Francis Yacht Club with one of the staff commodores of the yacht club there who is from Denmark, and we were just having a conversation about racing and all of the big boat series and the Rolex races anyway, we're looking for our sponsor who's going to sponsor our female talent here on Salesport Talk soon. So I'm in private negotiations to see what I can do.
When you think about the one I went to in San Francisco a couple months ago, that was the end of the season. So is this the beginning of the next season?
You know, it is the first time that they're doing the LA race. And yes, I believe that we are, because that was the end of the season and the big prize that went out to Tom Slingsby again. And, you know, now we have races. I was noticing that we don't have Japan or China anymore. We've got Canada and Switzerland and Great Britain and America. And
we have France. We have a debut from Germany.
I know. It's going to be quite exciting to see all of these racers. You know, this race is really gaining a lot of momentum, and I really love the fact that they have the women track, and they're really making a conscientious sport to bring these fantastic women athletes into the professional ranks, basically.
What are you looking for in this race? Just the excitement of the race, or are you looking for any type of new innovations or tactics?
Well, I am looking to see, you know, it's the whole experience. So it's not just the race on the water. I mean, I love to see those boats foiling, and I am always looking for the new tactics and how these teams are, you know, managing to plan their courses and handle the tactical maneuvers when there are so many boats. Because the more boats you have out there, of course, the more possibility for crashes or other things that happen, and you never know what the wind and the weather is going to be. So that part's always quite exciting, especially in the start of the race. But there's also a lot that goes on behind the scenes. There's a lot of diplomatic effort. So I've been to, when we were up in San Francisco, I was invited to the Australian Consul General's party that he gave for the team members from Australia, and there were, you know, representatives from a lot of businesses that were doing trade with the United States. And so a lot of other individuals behind the scenes are doing private events around the race that kind of help further business, that help further diplomatic relations between countries. You know, anytime you get a lot of money being spent and talent and people gathering, and it's something new and hot, then there's also these opportunities for other kinds of networking that go on.
Yeah, I'm just seeing they raced in Chicago. That began season 5. So this is the second event of season 5. So what I'm getting is that they basically, had 5 weeks off in between seasons?
Well, I don't know if they really have time off. I mean, they're really working, these athletes, you know, because in between, you know, there's always the, the work that happens in between the races is constant training and preparation for the athletes. You know, certainly they're trying to get their rest in between, but, you know, with so many races now, throughout the year, there isn't the opportunity for taking time off and doing other races that there was before. And this is something new. You know, like when we look at America's Cup, which happens periodically, it's not every year, it's certainly not, you know, 10 times a year. You have time for these athletes to go and compete in other races. But now that CLGP is really taking such a dominant field, they are basically bringing those athletes in so that they're doing this all year round. And that's something new for the sail sport, and certainly something that's, you know, mirroring other sports.
Rick Tittle with Karen Lyle doing our SailSportTalk.com segment we do every Tuesday at 9:40 Pacific time. Germany says that they want to get a home event, and they said that the German fans are clamoring for it, and they haven't decided on a site yet. But it's basically, if you think about where they are in maritime, you know, that type of open water, you'd have to go to the North Sea from like Cuxhaven or Bremerhaven, or you'd have to go into the Baltic from like Rostock or Puttgarden. Puttgarden is the little place where my train went into the ship and I got out on the other side and I was in Denmark. When you think about, you know, when you talk about home courses, this or that, I mean, those are going to be, you know, some windy days. Do you get more excited about the windy days, or would you rather see it in a more like, I don't know, tropical setting and more serene?
Well, you have to have wind for sailing. That's a given. You want to have not too little and not too much. If you don't get enough wind with these boats, they don't get out of the water on the foils. So one of the things that a team or a country is going to look for in choosing a location is they want to find something where the winds are fairly predictable, because they would have to cancel a race if they don't have enough wind. And if the wind is too much, they have to cancel the race, and there's also risk of damage to the boats and actually loss of life and limb. So you need this perfect window, and you can't control the wind. I mean, the wind is going to do what it wants to do, but you look at trends. I mean, certainly like here in the Bay Area, we know that somewhere between 15 to 25 knots during the summer is very predictable. It comes through the Golden Gate, you know, into the Central Bay. It's one of the reasons why we've had America's Cup and why CLGP is located here. There are other places around the world where there are more consistent winds, but if it's too fluky and they can't really depend on it, that wouldn't be a good location.
The Emirates Great Britain team finished in seventh in Chicago. Very disappointing start to the season's campaign. And the skipper, Ben Ainslie, said that they were going to go away and they're going to work out any issues they have and try to rectify what they did down in Los Angeles. And, you know, you think about finishing third in the race I saw. They nipped into the three-boat shootout by narrowly beating France in fleet racing. So when you start off in seventh, is it kind of like college football where if you lose a game, you're done? Or is there still time to get back?
You know, it's oftentimes not just the talent of the competitors, because certainly when you're talking about Ben Ainslie and Tom Slingsby and Nathan Outeridge and others, you know, that we have been discussing, you know, throughout these races, they are so good at what they do that oftentimes it's who makes a mistake or something that might happen, you know, just that's unpredictable. They're following a puff of wind, and all of a sudden there's a hole in the wind pattern in that particular area, and the boat drops into the water and they have to get back up on the foils, and then, you know, there they are. They've lost several places in that particular race. And there's also the rules of the road, the right of ways. So if a boat maneuvers in a certain way and they're making a turn or something, then according to those right-of-way rules, they might have to give way because they're having to follow the rules and they might get penalized. And, you know, sometimes they push the penalties on purpose and they set up these conditions, but sometimes they don't have a chance to make up for the penalty. So they do accumulate points over these races, and it certainly is possible for someone to go from first to seventh and back up to second and third, and we see that in these CLGP races. They just, you really can't predict this early as to what's going to happen in the season.
How would you say, in your estimation, since you started watching CLGP, and as I said, we're just, you know, four or five seasons in, the growth, and where do you see it in the near future, where and the popularity of it?
Well, I think they're doing a great job of pulling in broadcasting. You know, they have television broadcasting rights that they're selling all over the world. Actually, when I go to these, when I go into the media accreditation area for the race, oftentimes one of the things I enjoy the most is meeting the professionals from other media around the world, because they follow these races. And I, for example, when I was there last year in San Francisco, I sat next to somebody who was from Germany, and they had the broadcasting rights for television for the country of Germany. And so CLGP is really monetizing this race in a way that's very similar to the way that, you know, our other sports are monetized by selling broadcasting rights, by, you know, getting the word out there in many different ways. And because it's international and there's so much interest, there's so much opportunity, I think, for growth.
And then finally, we were going to talk to Marie Rogers about TransPAC. How did that all turn out?
Well, I want to bring her back to have her tell about that. I don't know why we didn't connect today, but I will be seeing her on on Thursday because I'm going to meet up with her and take her to the CLGP. But they didn't win the race, but I really want to hear the story. And I haven't heard it yet. That's why I brought her on the show, because you know how we like to always hear things fresh when we talk on the show. We don't want it to be old news. We want to get the scoop.
All right, good stuff. Karen Lyle, check out SailSportTalk.com, the website, for more information about all this and other topics about getting out on the open waves there. Thanks for coming by. We'll see you next week.
Okay,